141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Leon Balogun seals his Rangers return. Celtic announce a Dublin friendly with Wolves, and Kyle Lafferty joins seventh tier Johnston Borough. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio tonight is Kenny Miller.
Well, that last bit of news is the exciting stuff, isn't it? Big Laugh joining Johnston Borough. I think he joins Graham Dorans there, actually. I think Dozer joined there a month or so ago. So Johnston Borough obviously got big plans about how they want to move forward.
Can I say, you not fancy joining them as well as part of a reunion?
Well, listen, I'll maybe think about getting the boots back on if the big man needs a partner.
I think we might be hearing a bit from the Johnston Borough manager later on, so stay tuned for that as well. But there is plenty to get through as well. As I say, Leon Balogun has sealed his return to Rangers. Celtic should have been in action tonight. Not 100% sure whether that game's going ahead because it was a closed-door friendly against Portimonense at their pre-season training camp in Portugal. So if there is any information about that, we will get it to you. But sometimes with these closed-door friendlies, you only really hear about them afterwards and what the result was. But certainly would be interesting to see what Brendan Rodgers' first lineup is and his return to Celtic. And anything else that is on your mind, all you need to do, give us a call, 01419511025, or you can send us a tweet at ClydeSSB. But let's start with that news coming out of Rangers today. And it's one that's moved pretty quickly because last night there was a tweet from Rangers saying that Leon King, of course, a 19-year-old defender who, you know, played quite a few games last season due to injuries to other players. He's picked up an injury in their pre-season training camp in Germany, an ankle injury, a contact injury is what they've said. He's out for a significant period of time. And, you know, the next day, Rangers announced that Leon Balogun is back in a one-year deal.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think it might not be kind of hand in hand. Why? That's why Leon Balogun's came back. I would imagine Rangers were still looking at a centre back. I still think there would have been one coming in had Leon King, that is, not got injured. But I think on the face, it looks a good sign. And personally, I don't think he should have been allowed to leave a year ago. But when you look at the issues that Rangers had at centre back last year, where Suter obviously playing the first game and then having a long-term injury. Davies was in and out, and it took him a right few months to get up to speed. And just probably when he did get into the team and start forge a decent relationship and partnership with Goldson then finds himself out. So I think Balogun would have been a good one to keep around last year, and he probably would have played a lot of games when you look back on the season that the centre-backs had.
At 35, is there any concerns over his age and bringing him back at this point?
Well, listen, that's for Michael Beale to decide, and he clearly signed him at QPR. They brought him to Rangers in the first place when he was here with Stephen, and he's decided to bring him back. So what it does, it speaks volumes about the man, not just the player. I mean, I think he'd never have let Rangers down when he played, and he's but as a person and someone to have around the building, it looks like it's a real positive signing for Michael, and it's his decision to bring him back. You know, he's got full charge, everything that's going on recruitment wise at the moment, and he feels that Leon's going to be bringing not only a good player and an option to have if required, but a really good person in the dressing room, who again by all accounts was really well liked by all the Rangers players in the dressing room before.
A real sore one for Leon King as well, who was really thrust into things at the start of last season. I think featured in every single Champions League group stage match last season because of injury issues that Rangers had at the back. He'll have been hoping to really kick on after he had injury problems of his own later on in the season, but he's now out for what Rangers are describing as a significant period of time.
Yeah, listen, it's devastating for the young man. Again, like you said, he had a lot of games last year, like big high profile games he had to play in last year because everything we've just talked about with injuries to Suter and Davies. So he would have been looking to get a good pre-season under his belt and really try and make a charge towards that team. I think it would always have been tough. I don't think Michael views him as a first choice kind of starter, that's for sure. He was going to need to earn that right. And you look at the signings of Sterling and now Leon Balogun coming in to compete with the likes of Davies, Suter and Goldson. There's a lot of options there now at centre-back position. But listen, it's never nice to hear anybody get injured, particularly a young player who is looking to make his mark on the game.
Well, let's hear from you. You can get in touch on Twitter at ClydeSSB. We can get a bit of a topic going as well. Leon Balogun returning to Rangers. You can maybe give us some of your memories of your favourite returns to your football club. Kenny, you're no stranger to making returns in football as well. So give us a tweet at Clyde SSB, or you can give us a phone, 0141 951 1025. That's what Archie in Partick has done. Archie, what do you make of the Leon Balogun news today?
One word, dreadful. Absolutely dreadful. I was saying to Ross, the boy there, I said, it's actually put me in a downer for the start of the season. I think the decision making at Ibrox the last two or three years with certain players, you know, we held on to Deadwood, Kent and your Morelis. We gave new contracts to Stephen Davis and Arfield, who were great servants, but they were finished. And we're continually holding on to the past. We're not evolving. We're not reinventing our team. We're going back to somebody, for me, who's a poor defender. That's just my opinion. His decision-making is shocking. He's full of mistakes. He's no pace. And I just can't fathom why we would get back the way. We're doing the same stuff for years. And you know, Celtic must be sitting giggling. I mean, he's just... I think it's a dreadful decision. I mean, he's not even been that successful with Rangers. You know, I was talking last week.
He won a league title. He helped Rangers get to a Europa League final. He surely found some level of success in his first spell.
No, I don't think so. I think he's a poor defender. I think he's very, very, very extreme. You can get a few good games off him, but he's full of mistakes against decent defenders for me. I think it's just a really... I think we're doing the same stuff we've done for years. We're holding on. We're going back the way. And I think you need to evolve and reinvent the team. And I think getting back to somebody like him is a really, really poor decision. And I think it's you want to win a league title. And I was reading about Michael Beale today saying, he really liked Rooney Dixon. Does that really matter? You want to win a league title. You want to be good enough to win a league title again. And you know, that was 3 seasons ago. You know, that was 3 seasons ago they won that when Celtic capitulated. You know what I mean? We didn't even have a challenge.
Archie, does it maybe come down to where he is in the pecking order in terms of central defenders? If he was being brought in as a starter to come in and play every single minute of every single game, you know, you may have that opinion. Would you still feel the same if he's being brought in as a backup option? You look at what happened to Rangers in the Champions League group stages last season. They were forced to play with Leon King, who was very inexperienced. There was also James Sands, who's more of a midfielder than a defender. He was forced to play back there as well. Is it maybe a move from Michael Beale just to try and stop that from happening this season, to have, you know, more solid backup options in that area?
Well, I disagree with the solidity you're saying. I don't think he is solid. I think he's a liability. Listen, you know, no player's perfect, and defenders have got mistakes in them. But his decision making, he's no solid for me. I think it's a poor decision. I think we're going backwards, and I think it sends out the wrong message to a team we're trying to create to win a title. You know, I said it was 3 years ago. He went to QPR and they've let him go, and I just think it's having somebody about as a bit part player again, which he was even sort of then, I say it is really, really poor. It's just going backwards and we're not evolving. We're holding on to the past and players and we've had, and it's just nonsense, I think. You know, it's just a really, really bad decision for the start of the season, I think.
Kenny Archie's very scathing in his criticism of Leon Balogun. What did you make of him in his first spell? I think one thing Archie accused him of was having a lack of pace. I don't think that was anything you could have thrown at Leon Balogun. He was pretty pacey for a centre-back, especially of his age as well. But just overall, you know, what do you make of Archie's take?
No, listen, I get what Archie's saying. Listen, he was never a regular player in his first spell, you know, so there's no way he's going to have been brought back at this age with what Michael's trying to achieve, because Archie's bang on, there needs to be a league title to win. But what you do know, you do need a capable squad if you're looking to fight on four fronts. And Michael, again, this is where it goes, my opinion, Archie's opinion, it doesn't matter. Let's be honest about it. Michael Beale has earned the trust, in my opinion, of the Rangers fans at the moment with his signings and his recruitment. When you look at his first two signings in Todd Cantwell and Raskin, outstanding signings, and will be probably two of their best performers over the course of this season. So I think he's earned the trust, and he deserves a bit of that, and maybe a bit of leeway to see how it goes. Because Leon, for me, is a good signing to come back into the team when required. Because I don't think for any stretch of the imagination Michael Beale, like you say, has brought him in to be a first choice pairing with Conor Goldson. But if he performs to be the best out of the options, then he'll play. And that's where it is. He is very, very quick for his age, Archie. I would definitely say I would take that out. But listen, you've got to respect the opinions. But for me, I think when you look at the signings that have came in, there's no looking back in Michael's views. He's looking to a league title, and by the way, he knows exactly what he needs to do this season. So that's providing more success for this great football club, and its league title is paramount. And then they have to follow that up with cups. And when you've got that European run, like you say, they need strength and depth. And what's been looked at, when you look at the centre backs last season, every single one of them was out injured over a spell. So you're going to need capable cover. And I know Archie's saying he doesn't feel he is capable, but I would slightly disagree.
Archie, with, you know, the injury to Leon King that came out last night, what would you have liked to have seen Michael Beale do instead of bringing Leon Balogun?
Look for an alternative, a younger, fresher, somebody who's new to the club. I think again, it's about, for me, reinventing the team. You know, evolving away from the team that we were. I think, but you know, if somebody else gets injured, it's Golson. Say he plays with Golson, you're going to play Barisic and play Tavernier, and that's same defence constantly. I mean, it's they must be getting bored with each other. You know, we need to reinvent the team. I think there's just too many players still there that for me should have moved, or even Barisic. You know, I think that it must be a better alternative, but there's somebody who's really, really hungry, you know, to just a bit younger. It's just, I think he's just no good anymore. I think he's, I'm just really disappointed.
Could Sterling not be that guy, Archie? Is he not be the new, like the younger one that they could hope that maybe has the same type of impact as what a Calvin Bassey did?
Well, possibly, aye. But I mean, it's just, possibly, for me, it's a marker. For me, when you look at players that are bringing them back, it's a marker for me. I think that it's a negative right away for me.
It's also the seventh signing as well, actually. It's not as if it's their number one signing coming early. They've got a lot of guys through the building, through the doors that needed to be coming in areas that were real importance to Rangers, i.e. goalkeeper and obviously the front line.
Yeah, is there not a balance to be had in the transfer market, Archie, that if the move is to bring in a backup centre-back, someone that can fill in the gap left by Leon King, that maybe Michael Beale is thinking that he can't really go out and spend X amount of money in that area because he'll want to use it in other areas? He's obviously spent money in the forward areas. We've seen it with Sam Lammers. We've seen it in Cyril Dessers. There's talk of José Cifuentes, who would take a fee if he was to come in the summer. Can you see it from that sense that, you know, Michael Beale's maybe thinking that that's an option he can bring in a free transfer and then he can use the money in other areas of the park?
I mean, yes and no. It's just as Kenny was saying, it's a personal opinion. I just think, you know, he's been there, he served his time there, and I think that, I just don't think, you know, if you've been really, really successful, you're a top class player coming back, aye, but for me, isn't he anywhere near that? So I just think that, I don't know, I've said it, you know, four or five times, I think we're going back the way. For me, that's a backward step for Rangers, going back to Balogun, even as a squad player, if he fills in. I just think that's the team we've been. You know, we're trying to reinvent the team and move forward. So if you're going back to the old guard, and he was a squad player then, and it's doing the same stuff. For me, you have to, you know, it's just nothing's changing for me. I know, and I hope Michael Beale proves me wrong, but I said to Kenny, I don't know if Kenny remember last season, when I've said it two or three times, that Brian Bonkers was, he'll be away by Christmas. And I think Beale will be the same. I hope he proves me wrong, but I just don't fancy him. And I think he'll be away with Christmas as well. So I'll see that right now.
Well, thank you to Archie. Let's stick with the phones. Callum is a Rangers fan in the West End. Callum, do you agree or disagree with what Archie said?
Evening, Andrew. Evening, Kenny. Nice to hear from you. It's a great show, as always.
Thanks, Callum.
Yes, first time caller. And no, I'd have to totally disagree, if I'm honest with you, with the first caller. I think there's not a great deal wrong with going back to what you already know. I don't think that if we spent 3 or 4 million on Jonathan Panzo, for example, it would guarantee you a solid centre-half. So I think it's tried and trusted. And I think the big thing with Rangers just now is that there's a lot of good harmony that Beale's trying to build there. And by all accounts, Balogun is a good character in and around the dressing room, and if it is the case that he needs to fill in as cover for Golden or Souter, whoever it is, over the course of the season, on a wet Tuesday night in Dingwall, say, there's every chance that he'll be safe as houses for you. So that would be my opinion on the signing of Balogun. He's tried and trusted, and it's a free transfer, so there's not a great deal wrong with it, in my opinion.
Yeah, Kenny, we are just speculating that that is the role that Leon Balogun is going to play this season, that he may just fill in when required. If there are injuries, he obviously will get a good amount of game time. But Callum's talking about Leon Balogun being a good character. Michael Beale has mentioned that when you've got players that maybe aren't you know, regular starters and going to start every single game. Is that a good quality for a player to have as well, that Michael Beale will know he's not going to be a disruptive presence in the squad?
Listen, there's two ways to look at these types of characters. And by the way, and Leon is that guy. You know, whether he's playing or he's not playing, he is the good character out there. He's a positive influence on the people around him. But there's two ways to look at that question. Yes, is the answer. Absolutely, you need to, like, be a team player. It's team first mindset always when you're at these football clubs. The big picture is always the more important than any individual stuff. The flip side is, do you really want to sign people who are just happy to sit on the bench, you know, and they've not got the hunger? But again, at the stage of Leon Balogun's career, he's not that guy either. So it's a positive signing for a number of reasons for me. Obviously, what we've talked about, the abilities if required to play. If he proves that he's going to be the best centre-back to play alongside Conor Goldson, then he'll play, and rightfully so. And there's no, when you sign a player, there's no guarantee this will be the role. You might have earmarked a certain role for them, but that could be quickly proved wrong by performances, by being the best guy available for the job, or you're not, and somebody else will be playing. And then when you get your chance, it's up to you to take it. So when you look at the options at the moment, Goldson's, as long as he's fit, is nailed on to have that right side of the centre back. But you've got Davies, you've got Suter, obviously you've got young Leon King that's out, you've got Balogun now coming in as well, so, and Sterling, obviously it's been signed. So there's good competition back there, and there is a varying level of experience as well, which I think it's a decent enough blend. You know, that's why bringing Leon back, forget his age, you know, he's a fit lad. You could see it when he played last. He's only a year older from when he left the club, you know. So I can speak personally, but when you get to those stages, like, there's not that much of a difference, you know. So Mike, listen, it all comes down to Michael Beale. He feels he can trust him. He feels he's going to be a good signing for the group and a valued member of that squad. That's good enough for me.
Yeah, Callum, how do you see that centre of Rangers defence lining up this season when everyone is fit? Is it a case of Conor Goldson plus one, and next to him it's a John Suter or a Ben Davies or a Leon Balogun? Well, I think we've maybe lost Callum there. We will try and get him back, but yeah, I mean, John Suter is one as well. That is it tough for Michael Beale to maybe rely heavily on John Suter because of the injury problems he's had in the past?
Well, listen, it would be crazy to hang your hat on John when you look at his injury record. I mean, he's sitting here right now. We hope that he's had his fair share of injuries to last a career, you know. So let's hope for he's got another 10 years injury free. And what I would say is that I think come the start of the season, the way John performed at the end of the season, I think that slot's his. You know, so as long as they're fit, I would say Goldson and Suter would be your first choice centre backs at the moment, probably in Michael's mind moving into the season. So, but like you say, the injury record again, and it's horrible to say it just can't be trusted that there's not going to be any recurrency injuries or new injuries. You know, when you've got that record, it's always going to be levelled. That, like I said, hopefully he's going to be injury free for the rest of his career. Well, you suffered enough.
Yeah, I think we do have Callum back. Callum, I was just saying, I don't know if you heard me, in terms of Rangers central defensive partnership next season when everyone is fit, who would you expect to be the starting two?
Yeah, no, sorry, I was just saying, in my opinion, it's Goldson's your first choice, and he's obviously proven that with the amount of games he's played for each manager. So it's Goldson and one other. But in my opinion, I thought John Suter finished the season really well last year, and I would like to see him given an opportunity to start the season, because he obviously went in against Livingston at the start of last year and he was in great form, and then he picked up that injury. So between him and Davis, I think you've got two good ball-playing centre-halves. And in my opinion, it's not a great necessity to go out and sign another one for 3 or 4 million. So that's why I think Balogun as cover, if you can keep all the centre-halves fit, then you've got, you know, you've got a good amount of options there. So, and across the back four, we've all of a sudden got two right-backs that are both going to be, obviously, vying for places, and two left backs in Borna and Yilmaz. So that it all of a sudden looks a lot stronger than it did at the tail end of last year. And I'd say that across the squad, front four as well. So I would actually like to ask Kenny himself as well who he envisages starting up top at the start of the season, if Lammers and Dessers is going to be an actual front two, or is there going to be a second striker, if you like.
Listen, I think that'll depend on how Michael wants to play. You've seen at the end of the season, there was two forwards deployed in pretty much most games. It might not have been recognised forwards. I mean, I think at the end of the season, Sakala and Matondo finished off quite a few games up top, and I would say that they were a front two in the way they were played. But I think there's real flexibility now, Callum, and the signings that he's made with Seema, with Dessers, with Lammers. I think Seema could play easy off the left if it was a 4-3-3, 4-2-3-1. If he did play the way he kind of finished, which like did look like to me there was two strikers, I think you've got Lammers, you've got Dessers. But I think if you was to pick one number 9 to be playing, I think Dessers would be that guy.
Well, thank you to Callum. Make sure to phone us again soon and you could be up next. All you need to do is dial 0141 951 1025.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Kenny Miller here with me, Andrew McLean, in the second part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. And you can get involved as well, 0141 951 1025, or you can send us a tweet at ClydeSSB. Be a bit of news coming out of Celtic today as well. They've announced that they've rearranged that friendly against Wolves that was meant to take place in South Korea. There were some issues with the promoters of that leg of the tour. Celtic in Portugal at the moment, then heading over to Japan. The South Korea leg has been suspended from it, but the two of them will face off at the Aviva Stadium. I said earlier they're meant to have a bounce game in Portugal tonight, but as you know, it's sometimes these bounce games away in pre-season training camps are very low-key, Kenny, that may not come out until a bit later on.
Yeah, maybe just a closed door game, more like an actual training game where a lot of guys will get their first minutes of the season. It might be completely different teams that play in each half. So, sometimes the games are not always there, and you can watch or keep up to date with the scoreline. You'll just maybe see some kind of result later, and maybe a little match report. But that'll be a good game against Wolves, one of my old teams across at the Aviva. It'll be a real test for them there.
Well, let's speak to Raja, who's a Celtic fan in Cardonald. Raja, what's on your mind tonight?
How you doing, Pan? All right, Kenny and Andrew yourself. You know, it's just I'm a wee bit concerned because Rangers are signing, you know, players, and Celtic are kind of, they sold their, like, Jota's away and a few others are going to go away. So I just want to ask yourself, do you think that the season will be quite tight this season, like next season, or compared to a lot of some Celtic fans, they think, we're going to run away with it again? I mean, and then I've got another point if you let me come back if you answer that one.
Yep, will do. Kenny, Raja's asking if it's going to be tight this season.
At this moment in time, I would have to say yes. And Raja's right. I mean, Celtic's kind of recruitment drive is pretty quiet, and it has been over the summer, I'm sure.
Suppose how much of that will have been impacted by the change of manager? Probably a lot of it. You'd expect that plans maybe would have been further down the line if Ange Postecoglou had stayed.
Maybe not. I mean, I think when you're a club like Celtic, you've got your plans in place, but when you bring in a manager of this kind of stature, he probably had his own ideas. So maybe a lot of the things that maybe were set in motion or guys that they maybe had identified as potential targets, maybe Brendan doesn't fancy it. So they're going to have to not start again, but at least put kind of different guys in front of him. Or Brendan, I'm sure, will have his own ideas about who he would want to bring in to be part of his team this season. So at this moment in time, yeah, absolutely, I think it'll be close. Celtic had a wonderful season. They've had a wonderful two seasons, actually, under Ange. So they are the team to catch. But when you see, again, Raja's looking across the other side of the city and he's seen that's 7 signings already. And again, as much as I've really strengthened Rangers in the front line, you're still getting linked with Danilo. There's still going to be a potential there. Cifuentes could be on the way as well. There could be up to 10, 12 signings coming through the door at Ibrox, which again, when you lose the players and the big players that they have, then you're going to need to replace them. So that will be a concern for Raja now that they've lost Jota, because he will need to be replaced.
The fact that, you know, Rangers have made a lot of signings, Celtic haven't, is there maybe just an argument that Celtic squad didn't need a lot of surgery? It was a treble winning squad that, you know, ran away with things really last season. Maybe Brendan Rodgers has gone in and thought, you know what, I actually don't need to do too much. Maybe there will be a couple of big signings that come in, but he might have thought, it actually doesn't need to be too much work done to this squad.
No, that's definitely a part of it, because there's no doubt the Celtic squad doesn't need the work that the Rangers squad does. It's a team that won a treble. Again, some of the football they played was absolutely excellent. That was for the year before with a double. So there's a real, like I said, real good two seasons. the one thing's for sure, Brendan Rodgers is not going to come in here and stand still. You know, he's going to want to move forward and move forward in a big way. So I've no doubt that there will be signings that will come through the door at Celtic Park over the next 2, 3, 4 weeks. I mean, you've still got really 7 weeks up until the end of the transfer window. So there's plenty of time, but it's just, it's quiet. I mean, you want to see, I think any fan wants to see some new blood in their team early. You know, they want to get a wee vibe for maybe what's coming up. And if you get big name signings in the door, it can give you a real positivity going into the season. And at the moment, across at Celtic Park, that's not quite happened yet.
What do you think, Raja? Where are the areas that you'd like to see Brendan Rodgers make some changes?
I think we need another defender. But in Shane Kenny, you know, the thing is, the last 12 years, apart from the COVID season, Celtic, I mean, Kenny ran away the league, right? And on top of that, we've still got basically the same team. And what only gives me great hope is because these guys are in their tenure. Nobody's ever heard of them. You know, I don't know, some are freebies and some have played a few million, and yet they've lost their best players like Morelos and Kent. And Kamara doesn't get a look in now.
I think some people would argue that towards the end of last season, certainly, that Morelos and Kent weren't Rangers' best players. But I get what you mean, Raja. They obviously played a huge part in what Rangers did over the last few years.
Can I just ask you, Raja, had you heard of Kyogo and Maeda before they came through the door?
No. Yeah. Of course no. But I know what you're saying, but the thing is, you know, there is hope for Rangers there, but I can't see it. You know, I was worried about before, but now all these freebies and all that, I can't see it. I can't see Rangers touching us anymore. No chance.
Is that the interest? I mean, Raja's gone quite quickly from saying it's going to be very tight to saying that, you know, Rangers aren't going to catch Celtic, but there's just so much more risk involved in the transfer strategy so far for Rangers compared to Celtic, because when there is an overhaul or a revamp or a rebuild, whatever Michael Beale was addressing it as, you just never know how many players are going to come in and hit the ground running.
Yeah, and that's where obviously the work that Michael and his team have done has to be spot on, you know, because these guys are going to need to come in and impact it the way that Cantwell impacted it, the way that Raskin impacted it. They need to come in and they need to improve that starting lineup. And like I said before, like, I think those two signings, when you bring the first two in the building, and I think Kyogo was one of the first that Ange brought on, and look at the success that he's had there. When you bring the first two in the building, and Michael's was a bit tougher because it's obviously mid-season, it's always tough in that January transfer window to get players to come in and hit the ground running, particularly with these clubs, Rangers and Celtic. But he got it right with Raskin and Cantwell. I mean, Cantwell was absolutely outstanding towards the end of the season. So if those two are in to go by, Michael's eye for a player can't be questioned as yet. So like I said, I think he's earned the trust, and the Rangers fans need to roll with it at the moment. That these guys are going to have a similar impact. And you know what? Not all of them are going to be starting players, and we've already discussed that in relation to Balogun tonight. But there is now, particularly in that front line, real strength and depth. And I think it was Callum who said it before. When you look through the squad, there is good cover in most positions now. And like I said, I would actually expect players to probably be going the other way now as well, to try and kind of manoeuvre and maybe balance the books a little bit.
And when you've got a squad like Celtic's that was so successful last season, one of the big things is keeping a hold of key players, which Celtic have already made their moves to do that. Callum McGregor, Kyogo, Dyes and Maeda, that can be seen as great business despite the fact that it's not new incomings.
Absolutely. I think Callum McGregor, I've said it all along, he might go under the radar sometimes. I know a lot of Celtic fans will say he doesn't, but the likes of Jota's and Kyogo's always get the headlines, and rightly so, when they're scoring the goals and putting the performances they have. But Callum McGregor's the heartbeat of that Celtic team, so getting him tied down for the next 5 years was good business. I'm sure it was one of the first things that Brendan Rodgers wanted to do, was make sure they're not going to lose his captain, because he's so influential in that team.
Well, thank you very much to Raja. 0141 951 1025. If you want to get involved, let's look at one of the other big stories today, and it's that Kyle Lafferty has signed for Johnston Borough on a 2-year deal. They play in the 7th tier of Scottish football. He joins Graham Dorans, who's already at the club this season as well. He's signed this summer, and not sure it was a move that many people were expecting, Kenny.
Well, it might be this, maybe the first time Johnston Borough made it onto Sky Sports News. It's because it's
the first time they made it on the Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Absolutely. It's a big signing for them. I'm not actually sure where Big Laugh was playing last season, but he
spent his second half, or from February onwards, he was at Linfield.
Yep. So he's probably back in Scotland, and he wants to keep playing, and they've presented him with an option, you know, and it's an option he's felt he wants to take. So it's good luck to them. You know, they've signed Graham Dorrance, who's a wonderful player as well. So they're obviously trying to have a right go this year.
I'll be honest, I'm sure this is the first time this has ever been said on this phone in as well. Marcus is a Johnston Borough fan on the phone. Marcus, what do you make of the signing?
I think it's a good signing for Borough, to be fair, especially with all the signings coming in and all that. But I think he's a good signing, especially alongside Graham Dorrance and the names of like Kieran Brophy, Jojo Gillespie and all that. I think he'll be a good signing.
Tell us just about your background as a Johnston Borough fan, how you started supporting them and what it's been like up until this point for you.
So basically, when me and all my pals used to go to all the games, then we started an ultras group, you've probably heard of them, the Borough Boys. Then I've just been keeping going, home and away every game.
So, I mean, in terms of the success or, you know, the sort of ambitions of the club, has this just been a massive change in what you're used to?
It's massive. Like last season we started paying players and all, and then this season we're getting blown. Kyle Laffey, Graham Dorrance and all, massive signings. So it's good. It's a good future for the club.
Could you quite believe it when the club are being linked with, you know, former internationals, players that have played in the Premier League and the Scottish Premiership?
I just thought it was absolute mental seeing them down at Keeney Park with them every Saturday and all that. It's absolute mental.
It's really interesting, Kenny, isn't it? Because clearly it is a club that is ambitious. Clearly it's a club that's been backed very well as well. And it's not anything new, because we have seen players that have played in the SPFL that are being dropped down to, you know, either the Lowland League. We've seen it with the Highland League as well. This is, you know, the seventh tier. This is the West of Scotland Football League first division that they're playing in. But there's certainly someone out there that is wanting Johnston Borough to be a success.
That's it. And again, if you've got this vision and you've got the finances to back up, then fair play, you've got to go make it happen. And like you say, those types of signings are really, really high profile signings. Both represented Rangers, both international football players. I don't know if Big Laugh did play in the Premier League. I think he did before he had came to Rangers. So you've got Premier League experience here as well. They're just massive signings. And it's, again, they're good stories. I just asked Marcus, what's that pitch like down at Keeney Park that you said? Because Dozal needs a good surface there. He'd be spreading the fascia about.
As it went on, but obviously it's all down to volunteers and the committee and all that. But I've been down there a couple of times helping out around there. It's like it's a big family club, basically.
Well, there we go. We'll be interested to see how Johnston Borough get on this season. And I think after the break, we may well be hearing from their manager, Jamie McKim. But thank you very much to Marcus. But before we go to a break, let me tell you about this.
Oh, you're kidding me on.
Oh, thank you.
Register. Clyde One. Well, how do you fancy winning a ton of cash to set you up for the rest of the summer? Get yourself in the cash register draw right now, and you could be getting a call from Gary Spence tomorrow. You need to know the correct cash register amount, which is £39,571, and you need to be in the draw to get the call. Enter now by texting YES to 61025. That's YES to 61025. And if you get a call from Gary after 3 p.m. tomorrow, answer within the first five rings and make sure you know the correct amount. Texts are £2 plus your standard network rate. Online entry is £2. Or you can call 0330 880 4523. Calls are charged at the standard rate. It's over 18s only, and entries since Gary won on Tuesday have rolled over. All the rules for this Hitch Radio Network Scotland competition are on our website. So text YES to 61025 to enter. It's that simple. And tomorrow you could be winning £39,571. Good luck.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Kenny Miller with me, Andrew McLean, and tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard time. Still time for you to get involved as well. 0141 951 1025 on the phones, or you can send us a tweet at Clyde SSB. But we were talking to a Johnston Borough fan just before the break who was talking about that news that Kyle Lafferty has signed for the club. Delighted to say we're joined on the phone by Jamie McKim, who's the Johnston Borough manager. Jamie, how are you?
Very well, thanks. Yourself?
All good. Thanks for taking the time to speak to us. I'm sure it's been a bit mental for you today. Can you just talk to us about the signing and how it's been for you?
Aye, it's great. It's obviously great. Firstly, publicity-wise for the club, it brings a lot of attention to us. But firstly, on the pitch, it'll be a massive, make a massive difference for us this year. I'm expecting Kyle obviously come in and his experience, the levels he's played at, will have a really positive influence on the team and hopefully help us meet our targets this year. But first of the day when the signings went out, it's obviously been manic and it's been great for the club.
In terms of the change in backing maybe from last season or previous seasons to this season, what has changed at the club that's allowed you to bring in players of, you know, the names of Kyle Lafferty and Graham Dorans?
It's been massive, the change. For obviously I've been in the club 5.5 years now, and at the start it was a case of trying to build the club up and we're bringing young players in and giving them an opportunity, and then obviously we've had quite a few successful years now, and last year was the first year that we kind of had a bit of backing behind us and been able to go and be competitive in the league that we were in. But this year obviously it's we're looking to push on further, we're a bit more ambitious about us now, and there is more support, there's more investment in the club, and we're looking to push on and try and climb the pyramid. So it was good to get Graham in early in the summer, and now to be able to add somebody like Kyle into the squad, it's really good for us. It's somewhere a couple of years ago we couldn't have seen ourselves being in this position, but it's great to now be able to do that.
Yeah, when you sort of realise you've got a budget to be able to pull off these types of coups, how do you then go about it in the transfer market in terms of, you know, contacting players of a much higher standard than you've previously worked with?
To be honest, the first one, I was very fortunate when Graham came in. I'd met Graham on a B licence course a couple of years ago, and we kind of kept in contact then, and we actually were quite close to bringing him in just after Christmas time there. But obviously, I think Graham took some time to go and do his homework and see what the level was like, see what we were all about. And when he'd done that, he committed to us for this season. And Graham has been instrumental in bringing Kyle in, if I'm being absolutely honest. He was the one that I firstly said to him about his availability. And he obviously spoke Kyle his character and recommended he'd be a great signing if we could get it over the line. And since then, there's been... Kyle came down to watch our training sessions last week, and we've had 3 or 4 meetings with him now, and not just as a person. I've been really impressed with him initially, and I'm just delighted to have him on board now. So it's great for the club.
Kenny, you know Graham Dorans well. Has he not been on the phone to you trying to get you to sign as well?
No, I must say I'm past it and finished. Aye, because if he's went for Big Laugh instead, then I might as well keep them hung up.
Is there any other big names you'd be expecting to come in this summer, Jamie?
I wouldn't think so. No, it's, to be honest, it's now just about pushing on, making sure we've got a good enough squad to make sure we get out of the league and try and challenge to win it. That's what our ambition is for the season. So it's more about now just making sure we get settled, and the season starts 2 weeks' time, 2 weeks on Saturday. So it's now just getting myself ready for them. But I wouldn't expect any other signings of this magnitude anyway.
You say it's good for the exposure of the club. Does that exposure come with an extra pressure on yourself to get the club promoted this season?
Aye, of course. Of course, I think a couple of people said to me, what's your targets for the year and where do you see yourself being at the end of the season? And I think when you sign Graham Dorans, you sign Kyle Lafferty, and see, to be honest, that's just the names of the players that, you know, so far. But there's also a lot of other talented individuals in my squad that at this level are top players. So if I was to turn around and not be saying we're not trying to win the league, or we're not really, that's not the ambition, then the eyes would be on you then and maybe showing a lack of ambition, you know. So that's absolutely the target. We will be with those types of players. I think it will also be difficult because other clubs will raise their game against you, and it will become, at the end of the day, it's still a game on the pitch. You know, it's not, you don't win games just because of who you are and what your name is. You need to play properly. You need to be better than the other team in the day, and that'll be tough for us.
Has that been an interesting part of it for you this summer? You talk about, you know, the players around Kyle and around Graham, making sure that you've got that balanced squad to make sure that you're right up there at the top of the table.
Definitely, that was we've obviously known there's been a bit of investment coming into the club for quite a while now, and it was quite low key, if I'm being honest. And there was a plan in place that when we were going to recruit, that there was a healthy mix of youth experience, players that know the level, and then obviously with Graham and Kyle coming in, that brings that extra bit of experience of playing at a higher level, and hopefully that can help kick us on even more. So it's a big factor when we're going to bring players in.
Yeah, it's the type of thing that really can bring eyes to a club, Kenny, isn't it? When there are players that, you know, are former internationals, have played for teams of the likes of Rangers, going to a team in the seventh tier.
It's a big story. Like Jamie says, it does put the spotlight on them. It's brilliant exposure for a club at that level. It does come with the pressure, you know, on the manager and everybody else who's actually put the wheels in motion to go and get these players, because they'll be expected to go and win every single game. But like Jamie says, I mean, two men don't make a team, you know. It's about the guys that are supporting as well, and how they actually adapt to playing with these types of players, you know, because they are top level international players. So it's going to be really interesting. What it is now, even for me sitting here now, I'll be keeping my eye on how they're getting on, you know. So I will put a lot of attention onto Johnston Borough, and along with that attention comes a lot of pressure.
Did you have any offers similar towards the end of your career? Was there any sort of ambitious clubs that had come in for you that you'd maybe considered, or clubs had been in touch?
Not at that level. But when I went to Australia to start coaching, I think it was MPL it's called. So it's not even anywhere near a level or in any kind of pyramid system. But a couple of local teams had got in touch with the CEO and asked if I fancied it. So I did go along and have a wee look, because one of them was pretty close with the CEO and he knew the people in there, and they actually met them a few times. They were nice people. I went along and watched it, and I went along with my manager at the time, Carol Robinson, and we're sitting watching, and he looked at me and went, "Kenny, you can't play this level." So we decided not to, but I was firmly focused on the coaching anyway. So obviously these lads are at different stages of their career. I mean, I had Dawes in Australia. We took him to Western Sydney and he was a wonderful player for us. So he's too young to be retiring, and the same goes for Laugh. So good luck to them, and like I said, all eyes will be on Johnston Borough this year.
Yeah, Jamie, we had Marcus, who was a Johnston Borough fan, on just before the break. Are you hoping that, you know, these level of signings will be able to attract even bigger crowds along?
Definitely. I think, see, to be honest, we've seen a similar story in terms of Davos set up the last couple of years, being ambitious and stuff like that, and you see that it brings people, it brings the interest out. And to be honest, we're hoping the same. We want to be ambitious, we want to climb it up, and hopefully we grow a following throughout that. And I think when you bring these types of players in, naturally people want to come and see what's happening and see what they're like and if they've still got it as such. And these players, as I tell you, with Graham at training so far, has been unbelievable, and he's been a great influence on the younger players especially. I actually think you see a side of the players that want to come and impress these guys, and I'm sure Kyle will be the same.
Yeah, that's the type of thing that can, you know, rub off on other players, isn't it, Kenny? Having, you know, Jamie's talking about the quality that Graham Dorrance has, that type of thing can help younger players or players that maybe haven't played at a higher level.
Well, listen, a player like Graham Dorrance will make everybody about him better, that's for sure. But he'll be a vision of what it takes to play at the levels that he did, you know. So whether the players alongside him have got any chance of getting anywhere near that level, it's not the point. Their games will go up, their levels will go up, their professionalisms will go up because of the influence it will have on the team. So it can only be a good thing for them. But again, on the flip side, you'll have the whole same Jamie and his staff, and the players will have the whole same thing when you're coming up against different teams, because they'll be playing against Graham Dorrance and Kyle Lafferty's now. So their games, like Jamie said, will go up. They'll probably have a wee kick at them and maybe try and make a wee name for themselves. But it will come with a whole different lot of challenges for Jamie and his team this year, having two players of that profile in his team.
Well, thank you very much, Jamie, for taking the time.
No, thanks for having me, guys.
Good luck, Jamie.
Good luck.
See you. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Yeah, good to hear from Jamie there on that story that Kyle Lafferty has signed for 7th tier Johnston Borough. Almost out of time, but it's quite incredible that we are now only, what is it, 3 days away from the first competitive action of the season?
It is incredible when you think we're approaching the 15th of July, and that's when that's officially is like the real season starts with the start of the Viaplay Cup, and it just seems like the season finished and we're cheering on Scotland to two wonderful wins, and it's all starts again, you know. But I've been looking forward to it since the last day of the season, you know. It's you've got this wee spell where you enjoy going away and having a holiday and things, but when you get back in and it just becomes kind of the day-to-day stuff, you've been looking forward to the football and the season kicking off again.
There's always that excitement for the supporters. Obviously, it's all the clubs that aren't involved in European competition are involved this weekend, but whether it's the new players, new managers in the dugout, new strips sometimes people like as well, that it's just that excitement for everyone that it's around the corner.
But it's real games, you know, and it's really, really early in the season. For me, the games are so, so important, because particularly for the Premier League managers, you don't want to go off to a bad start like a few did last year, because you're already chasing your tail and you can find yourself under unneeded pressure. If you just go and approach the games properly, get the job done, get through to the next round, it's a really, really good chance for these teams to get to semi-finals, quarter-finals, even finals.
Yeah, just 3 days away from that competitive action. Looking forward to it, but unfortunately that is all we've got time for tonight. Thank you to Johnston Borough manager Jamie McKim, who joined us on the phone. Thank you very much to Kenny Miller in the studio. Thanks for listening in and for your calls and tweets tonight. I'll be back tomorrow night from 6 o'clock in the studio with Gordon DL, but stay right there because it's Amber up next. She's got songs from the likes of Olivia Rodrigo and the Snuts.